The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. at CNBC Global Headquarters. It is 10 a.m. here in London. I'm Frank Holland, and here is your 5 at 5. We begin with win streak snap. Stocks look to close out their worst month since September as we get set for the final trading day of April and the start to the latest Fed decision. Earnings at the half, investors bracing for another busy day of first quarter reports, including the latest from Mag 7 member Amazon. Also on the lookout for the Golden Arches, investors preparing to see if McDonald's can snap a three-quarter sales growth slowdown. Plus, Paramount Global CEO Bob Bakish gets shown the door and shut out from his own company's latest earnings call. And later, another round of high-level job cuts at Tesla after the stock logs its best day in weeks. It's Tuesday, April the 30th, 2024, and you are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good morning. Welcome to Worldwide Exchange, coming to you live from CNBC London. Thank you so much for being here with us. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. And we're going to kick off the hour and the final trading day of April with a check of U.S. stock futures. After a positive day for Wall Street yesterday that saw all the major averages and higher, bit of a different story today. You can see right here in the red across the board. Looks like the Dow would open just about 70 points lower. For the month, the Dow, the S&P and the Nasdaq, they're all on pace to snap 5-month win streaks. The S&P is about to close out its worst month since all the way back in September. The Dow tracking for its worst monthly performance since February of 2023. And for the month, Chevron, American Express and 3M, they're leading the blue chips in the Dow, with Intel, IBM and Home Depot, they're bringing up the rear. We're also checking the Treasury market this morning as the Fed kicks off its two-day policy meeting today, taking a look at yields. We have seen yields just pull back just a few basis points from the levels that we saw yesterday. Right now, the benchmark at 4.62, the two-year hovering still very close to a five-year yield. We're also looking at the cryptocurrency market. Bitcoin popping back above 63,000 as a number of spot Bitcoin ETFs begin trading in Hong Kong. Also an Ether ETF trading as well. Actually, I got to take that back. Bitcoin actually sliding a bit down below 62,000, down 1.5%. We'll continue to watch the moves in cryptocurrency throughout the show. We also have some breaking news and fresh economic data just crossing in Europe. Our Sylvia Amaro is with me right here in London. With that, earlier today, we saw Italian GDP, we saw German GDP, now we're seeing Eurozone GDP.
Exactly, but also inflation data. So there's a lot of important numbers coming through from the Eurozone. So just to give you a quick summary, in terms of inflation, that came in line with what analysts were expecting at 2.4. So we're seeing no change here compared to the previous reading. However, this will be an important number for the ECB as they prepare for a potential rate cut in June. When it comes to GDP, we saw the Eurozone economy growing above what analysts were also expecting, very much in line with the national numbers that we had seen throughout the morning. But let me take you to some of the market action on the back of these numbers. We are seeing the most of the European equities moving lower so far in the session, so continuing with most of the sentiment that we had seen so far in the session. But I want to take you to some of the corporate stories that we are monitoring closely today, because it is a very important busy day when it comes to some of these corporate releases. We have seen, for instance, news from HSBC. They announced that their CEO is actually retiring. Noel Quinn is retiring. This was on the back of some of the their first quarter announcements. They announced that indeed the CEO will be leaving. At the moment, we have seen shares moving higher by about 3%. When it comes to Volkswagen, also an important story we're following this morning, their operating profits declined 20% in the first quarter. This is also an important story to monitor in the context of geopolitics. politics. At the moment, we are seeing shares moving lower by about 2.3%. And last but not least, on the tech space, we are looking at Logitech. The company reported a 5% bump in sales for the fourth quarter, coming in at just over $1 billion. And of course, on the back of that, we are seeing quite a lot of momentum behind this company, with the shares currently higher by more than 8%. Frank.
Yeah, Sylvia, thank you very much. Big day for economic data and earnings in Europe. We appreciate the report, as always. All right, turn our attention back to the U.S. Today, it marks the halfway point of earnings season, and a big one at that, with dozens of companies set to report, including four Dow components. We're talking Amazon, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and 3M. It also marks the start of the Fed's two-day policy meeting, with a rate decision and a Powell press conference set for 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. A lot of anticipation for that. The Fed may be expected to keep its rate policy on hold and continue to hint at its timeline for a cut, but the Treasury markets, they appear to be pricing in the opposite, with the 10-year yield up nearly 10% this month, now trading just north of 4.6%, as we mentioned in the show, 4.62%. Joining me now with her take is Emma Wall, head of investment research and analysis at Hargreaves Lansdown Asset Management. Emma, great to have you right here in London.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, so I think we got to start on the U.S. Fed. Again, no decision expected tomorrow, but a lot of thoughts about what Jay Powell is going to say, or at least hint at. What are your expectations when it comes to the U.S. Fed? What is the impact on the European bond complex and also broader global equities?
Well, it's the multi-trillion dollar question, isn't it? I think there won't be any nasty surprises this week. All along, the Fed, and indeed I'd have to say all the major central banks, have been very keen to give as much forward guidance as they're permitted to. So I think what will be really interesting this week is not so much actually the rate decision, which we very much expect to behold, but the press conference afterwards, as you alluded to, because I think he's going to take the opportunity there to reinforce some of that higher for longer rhetoric, and indeed give some sort of scope or some indication of when we expect to see rate cuts. Now, we are still very much in the camp that we will see rate cuts this year, but it's way off what markets were expecting at the beginning of the year. You know, just a few short months ago, this was going to be a 6 rate cuts in the US year, but it's absolutely now not looking that way. We are thinking a couple of rate cuts this year, and then perhaps a pause for a little bit.
Well, a couple's a little nebulous. So 1, 2, are we talking 25 basis points each time?
This is also the really interesting question, right? It's what the depth of those cuts. I think potentially we end the year 25 to 50 basis points lower than we are today. Now, you know, we've got to leave ourselves a bit of room for maneuver. Ultimately, what we're saying, though, is fixed income looks like a really attractive asset class right now because, yes, we are higher rates. It's going to be higher for longer, but the trajectory from here is down, and we'd rather be a little bit early than a little bit late on these things.
So you just mentioned fixed income, which I wanted to ask you about. I had a guest on earlier today on Street Signs or European shows, believing his forecast was that the boon, it would hit its high end of its range at about 2.5. It's obviously a few basis points above that. The Fed staying higher for longer and the ECB expecting a cut in June. How does that impact fixed income? Where do you see the biggest opportunities? I would think it would be on the short end of the curve in the U.S., but he actually believed it was on the long end of the curve in Europe.
Well, I think actually the best opportunities here are a mixed bag, right? You've got some really enticing yields. You know, just a couple of years ago, in order to get 5%, you had to be in pretty kind of sex, drugs and rock and roll territory for fixed income. We're talking high yield. We're talking, you know, local emerging market debt. Now you can basically get that in the U.S. That's quite a thing. So locking in some income now and having a strategic point, you know, strategic option of looking around the globe, but very much in developed markets. Now, to your point, I do also agree that the ECB will move before the Fed in cutting rates. And indeed, I think the Bank of England will do the same. Now, interestingly, not just what does that do for the fixed income market, but also what does that potentially do for inflation in the UK? Because, of course, if rates are higher in the US, that means rates are more attractive in the US. And then you could potentially get this secondary imported inflation act because of the impact on the currencies. But central bankers will be highly aware of those risks.
So we mentioned we're in the middle of earnings season, not only in the U.S., but here in Europe. A lot of big companies reporting today, automakers actually under some pressure after their reports. What are your expectations for earnings season in the U.S. and over here in Europe? And will that keep the rally going this year? I know you're U.K.-based. We're seeing the FTSE hit new highs pretty much every day, and the U.S. indices about 3 to 4% away from their all-time highs as well.
Well, you'll know this, it's context, right? I mean, FTSE's hit its all-time high, but it took long enough. It's taken a very, very long time. You know, in the last year, we've seen, you know, it's a difficult month for the S&P 500, but in the last 12 months, we've had several all-time highs. We've even got Japan at an all-time high after, you know, nearly four decades. So I think the FTSE we are stronger on. We do think earnings, although more patchy than in the US, we have seen some really great results from financials so far in the last week. We expect it to be positive. We are very much mindful of the fact that inflation remains a factor.
Okay. You're dodging a bit, Emma. Do you expect earnings to basically show and confirm what investors have been looking at, that AI story, which is really that market concentration of the mega cap tech stocks, and keep the rally going with some broadening? Or will earnings actually push investors one way or the other? I'm putting you on the spot.
I do think that the Mag 7 story continues to run. It is a narrow trade. S&P 500, we think, will have continued volatility this year. We do think it's an opportunity to take some gains and recycle that back into where we see value, which is in the UK, despite hitting all-time highs in the last week.
All right, Emma Wall of Hargreaves Lansdown Asset Management. Great to have you here in the studio. Thank you for coming by. For more on what's driving the markets and the trading day ahead, head over to CNBC Pro at cnbc.com/pro for exclusive insights and analysis. All right, time now for a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Our Silvana Hanau, she's at CNBC HQ with those. Silvana, good morning. Good to see you.
Hey, Frank. Good morning to you. Well, just one day after seeing its stock close out its best day since March of 2021, Elon Musk is reportedly trimming headcount at Tesla once again. According to the information, the company's senior director of its supercharger business and the head of new products will both be asked to leave as soon as today, along with the roughly 500 employees that work in the supercharger group. It's official. Paramount Global CEO Bob Bakish is stepping down as the company's merger talks with Skydance Media move forward. Bakish will be replaced by a trio of executives that lead the company's various entertainment divisions. Bakish first joined Viacom in 1997 before becoming CEO 19 years later. The news comes as Paramount reported mixed quarter earnings with revenue coming up short of estimates following the earnings release. The company held a conference call with analysts that lasted less than 10 minutes, included no comments from Bakish and no questions from the audience. And Microsoft will invest $1.7 billion over 4 years to build out cloud computing and AI infrastructure in Indonesia. CEO Satya Nadella making the announcement while meeting with the president of Indonesia earlier this morning as he kicks off his three-country Southeast Asia tour. Microsoft says it will also train 2.5 million people in the region with, quote, AI skills, Frank.
All right, Silvana, thank you very much. And we have a lot more come here on Worldwide Exchange, including the one word that investors have to know today. But first, we're going to see if McDonald's has what it takes to break a three-quarter sales growth losing streak with the stock already down 7% this year. And we have your big money movers and why Coursera. It is plunging ahead of the open, shares down double digits, as you can see. Then later in the show, getting set for Amazon and the number one number you need to know ahead of that report. It's a very busy hour still ahead when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
What does it mean to be rich? Is it having more stories to share or time to give? Is it being able to keep your loved ones close or travel somewhere far away? At Edward Jones, we believe the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Your dedicated financial advisor will take a comprehensive approach to your financial strategy to help support what truly matters to you. EdwardJones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Got a quick market flash on shares of Sensata Technology. Those shares, they're popping after the sensor tech company topped first quarter earnings expectations on both the top and the bottom lines. These shares are up over 20%. The company also announcing its CEO is retiring and a new agreement with activist investor Elliott Investments that will add new members to its board of directors and its CEO search committee. Again, shares of Sensata up more than 20%. All right, turn our attention back to earnings. Consumer spending and international foot traffic, those are just two of the metrics to watch when McDonald's and Starbucks release their results later today. McDonald's investors, they are not loving it. The company set to report its fourth straight drop in quarterly sales growth today. Shares of both of these companies, they're negative on the year, underperforming many of their restaurant peers. And that list includes Domino's Pizza and Chipotle, both posting sales increases during the first quarter, and that's despite higher prices. Let's talk much more about this with Brian Harber, equity analyst in restaurants and food distribution at Morgan Stanley. Brian, good morning from London. I want to start off with McDonald's, if you don't mind. You have a overweight rating, a price target of 320, implies a 15% upside, a bit higher than the street has it. What are you seeing in this company after some of its struggles earlier this year?
Yeah, morning, Frank. Thanks for having me. What I would say is that there is going to be sales deceleration this quarter. McDonald's has sort of been most vocally cautious about that over the last couple of months. That's both in the U.S., but also internationally. And we feel that on a relative basis, this is still sort of a share gainer, despite the fact that you're getting into a slower sales environment this year, and that versus a lot of the peers where the environment is more value-oriented, the McDonald's still comes out of that in a better place versus a lot of the main competition.
You know, a lot of times when we talk about McDonald's, we talk about higher food prices and, you know, the consumer being stretched. And sometimes we forget their core business is actually franchising. It's not actually making food. It's franchising. Estimates have franchise revenues increasing 10% higher year over year. In your mind, is there a danger of it not actually meeting that level? I mean, higher for longer certainly impacts people who are trying to buy a small business, which a McDonald's is.
The economic proposition of owning a McDonald's is still quite attractive, right? We've gone through several years of very high cost inflation in the U.S., but also around the world, right? So opening new stores globally is still kind of a key driver of that franchising revenue. And we don't think that that equation has necessarily changed. You know, you can have small changes quarter to quarter. I'm not as worried about that in the first quarter. And I think that in the long run, there's still, you know, a very attractive impetus to open McDonald's. And thus that kind of drives the royalty revenue for the company over time.
By the way, we're just showing the price increases for Big Macs, fries. Even here in the UK, you do see higher prices for all those things. Sometimes you get a little bit of sticker shock. I want to move on to Starbucks. Your price target there, 115, also overweight, implies a 12% upside. You are also higher on the street here. What are you expecting from Starbucks? Again, a higher end coffee chain. McDonald's more on the working class lower end, but Starbucks certainly on the high end.
Yeah, I think this will be a relatively difficult quarter for Starbucks, to be honest, right? I think that you could see perhaps negative same-store sales growth in the U.S. You could see that in China as well. I think investors are well prepared for this. There's certainly a very difficult comparison versus last year, which was actually quite strong for Starbucks in the U.S., but also globally, right? So I think this could be a tough quarter. I think that they may have to adjust their annual guidance as you think about some of the pressures in the U.S., okay, some of the pressures in the Middle East, some of the pressures in China, right?
Yeah. You know, Brian, you mentioned international. You get about 22% of revenue from international. So what are you seeing or hearing in China? What are you hearing in the Middle East? I know in Middle East, Starbucks actually facing some Western-focused boycotts.
Yeah, those have continued, right? I think we may be seeing a bit of easing, but not really substantially. There is still some issues to work through there. And it's not unique to Starbucks. This is across a lot of the brands that I cover, as well as a lot of other American brands. So it's just going to take time to work through some of those issues. You know, in China, I would expect negative same-store sales growth this quarter. It's really competition, but also just the macro environment. In fact, I think that the macro environment is more of the driver. You just saw Yum China post negative same-store sales for the first quarter. I think that will also take time to work through, right? But this is still it has a very good brand position in China that I think is advantaged over time, although it's more premium, certainly.
Got it. You know, hearing a lot of different reports when it comes to the Chinese consumer from beverage makers, whether it be alcoholic or non-alcoholic, a lot of differing reports there. Brian Harber, thank you for your time. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, a multi-billion-dollar shot from half court, courtesy of CNBC parent NBC Universal for the future rights to the NBA. Details of that report when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. It is time now for your big money movers. We start off with shares of Chegg. They're falling after the company reported a 7% drop in revenue. Guidance also coming in light as the education tech giant shifts to a more AI-centric model. Its president and CEO says he plans to step down in June and hand the job over to the current chief operating officer. You can see shares are down more than 12%. Similar story for online education peer Coursera. The stock is now on track to open at or very close to an all-time low as investors digest weak current quarter and full-year revenue guidance. This comes despite a Q1 earnings beat and the rollout of new AI initiatives. You can see those shares are down more than 13%. And NXP Semiconductor gaining some ground in the early hours. Revenue in its automotive chip segment, which accounts for about half of the business, that actually fell by 1%. But revenue in its industrial and Internet of Things segments growing by 14%. Chipmaker says it's cautiously optimistic about the industry's cyclical downturn. Shares of NXP, they're up just about 4%. And shares of F5 Networks, they're sinking. The cybersecurity giant beating earnings estimates but missing on revenue guidance. F5 is up about 20% over the past 12 months, but underperforming the broader CIBR, cyber ETF, and rivals like SentinelOne, excuse me, and CyberArk. You can see here, shares down just about 10%. All right, time now for a check on some more of these morning's headlines. NBC's Francis Rivera is in New York with the very latest. Francis, excusing the cough. Good morning.
Oh, it happens to all of us. All right, Frank, good morning to you. Let's start with the diplomatic pressure that's increasing on Hamas to accept a ceasefire with Israel. In Saudi Arabia, Secretary of State Antony Blinken called the deal extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel and said Hamas is the only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire. The IDF is almost certain to push into Rafah if a temporary truce is not reached. Back here at home, pro-Palestinian protests are spreading at college campuses across the country. Overnight at Columbia University, demonstrators entered a building on campus, some seen breaking windows with hammers. It came after the school began suspending students who refused to leave the encampment at the center of campus. The Denver Nuggets bounced the Lakers from the playoffs, just like he did in last week's thrilling game to comeback. Denver's Jamal Murray delivered the dagger for L.A. A last-second jump shot from the guard allowed the defending champs to punch their ticket for a second-round date with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Elsewhere, the Western Conference sweeps week was still going strong. The top-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder easily took care of the New Orleans Pelicans in just four games. With a decisive series victory, the Thunder advanced to the second round of the playoffs for the first time since 2016. Hope you are all set with that cough, Frank, as we send it back to you.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, Francis, and also feeling pretty good about the NBA playoffs. Exciting to see the next generation of stars kind of take the reins. All right, Francis, thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, changes at the top at one of the major European banks that's seen its stock pop more than 17% over the past year. And if you haven't already, follow our podcast. If you miss Worldwide Exchange, check us out on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast apps. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up after this. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I am Frank Holland coming to you from CNBC London. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. We pick up half an hour with a check of U.S. stock futures here on the final trading day of April. Taking a look at those futures, we can see they're in the red across the board. The Dow actually off of its lows of earlier today, still looking like it would open about 40 points lower. The S&P and the NASDAQ also in the red. For the month, the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ, they're all on pace to snap five-month win streaks. The Dow tracking for its worst monthly performance since February of 2023, the S&P about to close out its worst month since September. And for the month, GE Aerospace, Newmont, and GE Vernova, they're leading the S&P. On the other side of things, Global Life, Intel, and Ulta Beauty, they're among the stocks that are weighing down the index. This morning, ahead of that Fed meeting, we're also taking a look at Treasuries. Again, two-day policy meeting begins today. Press conference and decision tomorrow. Yields pulling back just very slightly. Right now, the benchmark at 4.62, just a few basis points below the level that we saw yesterday. Important to note again, the two-year very close to that 5% yield. We also want to look at the energy market, specifically oil. We're seeing oil right now just up just fractionally right now, actually. We actually saw it pulling back earlier in the session, but pulling up just a bit. Brent crude up almost a quarter of 1%, trading at basically $88.60 a barrel. WTI basically trading at $82.90 a barrel, up just about a quarter of 1%. Okay, that's your morning setup. Now time for a check of some of this morning's top corporate stories. Silvana Hanau is at CNBC HQ with those. Silvana, good morning once again.
Hey, Frank, good morning again. Goldman Sachs is reportedly in talks to transfer its credit card program with General Motors. According to the Wall Street Journal, Barclays is the leading firm to potentially take over issuing cards, which have about $2 billion in outstanding balances. The journal adds any deal could come by the summer and would mark the latest step by Goldman Sachs in its pullback from consumer lending. Apple is reportedly targeting Google workers in its bid to build a team for its artificial intelligence ambitions. According to the Financial Times, analyzing hundreds of LinkedIn profiles, Apple has so far poached at least 36 specialists from its tech rival. The FT also reporting that Apple has created a secretive European laboratory in Zurich in its bid to develop new AI models and products. And NBC is reportedly looking to pay up in a push to secure NBA rights from TNT. According to the Wall Street Journal, this network's parent organization, NBC Universal, is set to make a bid of $2.5 billion a year to air regular season and playoff games. The journal says that TNT's parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery, is also making a last-ditch effort to keep those rights, Frank.
I kind of want to see the NBA go back to NBC. Like, it reminds me of my childhood with, like, Ahmad Rashad. Inside stuff. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. So I'm kind of rooting. Obviously, it's the home team for you and I, Silvana,
NBC. We got to root. Of course, we got to root for them.
Rooting for them. Yeah. Silvana, thank you very much. All right, turn back to earnings. The parade of big tech earnings, it just continues to roll on with Amazon reporting first quarter results today, following a week when Meta fell flat, but Alphabet and Microsoft really soared. Despite a recent pullback, Amazon is up 20% this year. Kate Rooney has more on the key metrics that investors will be watching.
Hi, Frank. So the bar is higher for Amazon after blowout results for Microsoft and for Google. The big focus is Amazon Web Services, or AWS, which is still the profit engine for Amazon. Street's expecting 14.7% growth for AWS, up from about 13% in the prior quarter. North American revenue, e-commerce there, and margin expansion are other areas of focus. And then there's advertising. It's a less talked about but still a core part of Amazon's bull case. The bar is higher there, too, after Snap, Microsoft, and Alphabet all saw strong demand for digital ads. Investors are factoring in Amazon's move into TV-style commercials and a paid ad tier for Prime. Sports are also in focus. Prime Video will stream its first NFL playoff game next season. UBS upping its price target last week, citing that high-margin revenue stream of Prime Video, looking for ad revenue to come in around $11 billion for the quarter. That's pretty much in line with Street estimates. Amazon, notably, now the only big tech company other than Tesla not paying a dividend. Analysts that I'm talking to say, don't hold your breath. It is not widely expected. The Street wants to see Amazon reinvesting in artificial intelligence. CapEx, though, is going to be a balance Amazon needs to prove. It is spending to compete in AI, but it can't go too far. Meta really was the cautionary tale on spending, and the stock got punished last week for Zuckerberg's commentary and that outlook, Frank.
And thanks to our Kate Rooney. Let's get more insight on what we may hear from Amazon with reports after the close today. Daniel Newman is the CEO and principal analyst at the Futurum Group. Daniel, good morning from London. I'm going to get into this. Kate hit on a number of points. The one I want to focus on is cloud computing. The estimates show cloud computing revenues for AWS increasing by 15% year over year. Is that good enough after the big jumps that we saw from Alphabet and Microsoft?
Yeah, Amazon has a tough, they're in a tough situation because the speed of growth, Google getting close to 30%, Microsoft in the mid-20s, Amazon has slowed down in terms of its growth compared to its competitors. But having been the largest for the longest time, you're still talking about law of large numbers and what that means for Amazon. Look, everybody's going to want more growth and they're going to want it faster. And AWS has to continue to show that it can compete with its rivals. But I don't think it's just about how fast cloud is growing, Frank. I think it's about how much they can compel the market that their AI technologies, solutions, and capabilities are competitive with Google and Microsoft, which seem to have a bit more of that provenance going into this AI wave. You know, Google's been developing it for multiple decades. Microsoft did the partnership with OpenAI, you know, and then Amazon came a little bit later with its Bedrock, then its Anthropic partnership. So people are going to be looking at those two levers. Of course, are they growing quickly enough and are they compelling enough on their AI story?
You know, Daniel, you're hitting on a number of key facts and issues here, things that we need to be looking for when it comes to Amazon. The numbers are one thing. How important is the commentary? Amazon continuing to spell out its narrative when it comes to artificial intelligence?
Yeah, well, you heard it from Kate. I mean, there's this really delicate balance they have to walk between Meta and Mark Zuckerberg overspending on its reality labs and the commitment it's making to AI and how much it's spending on GPUs and other technology. And then, of course, Google was almost perfect, just $1 billion in additional CapEx as their cloud business was growing extremely quickly. I think AWS has to be spending quickly enough. It's investing in its own technology. It's been building its own chips, its own network transport. It's not as dependent on NVIDIA as some of the other cloud providers. But having said that, you know, we want to know that they are making the big investments, that they are planning to keep their leadership as the world's largest infrastructure provider for a public cloud service. And so the amount of spend is going to be in this perfect little balanced space that says we're spending enough to compete and to maintain our leadership, but we're not going to.
So you're saying this is a stock that can move on that commentary, similar to what we saw in Meta. This is a stock that can move on that commentary. It sounds like what you're saying. Just want to encapsulate, Daniel, because I want to get your take on one last thing, the ad market when it comes to Amazon. So we've gotten reports from some of the other big tech companies. I'm looking at Meta. They missed estimates, but advertising revenue soared 27% year over year. Snap, it jumped by 16% year over year. Alphabet, when it came to YouTube, fastest growth since 2011. What are you expecting when it comes to Amazon? Pretty lofty expectations for year over year growth, more than 20% year over year growth when it comes to that ad business.
Yeah, the ad business is kind of one of their well-kept secrets, but it's almost a $60 billion run right now. I expect it to continue growing really quickly. And I think if Amazon is smart, they'll keep just delivering on advertising. They're under enough pressure with AWS, with their overall e-commerce business. Advertising has been a really successful growth area that hasn't gotten too much attention. That, of course, seems to be changing. I expect it to continue to grow. And it's interesting because the economy is not really red hot. There's a lot of data that shows that we are in this kind of maybe even stagflation situation. Having said that, though, the advertising business is growing, it seems, across the industry right now, with numbers looking good across the board.
You know, Daniel, it's hard to believe we just talked about Amazon for this long. We didn't even touch on their core business of e-commerce, but we're out of time. Daniel Newman, great to have you here. Thank you very much. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, sounding off with Norfolk Southern CEO is telling CNBC about his company's ongoing proxy fight and efforts to show him the door. But first, some of your top trending stories. The U.S. will require automatic emergency braking on new vehicles in the next 5 years, calling it the most important safety rule in the past two decades. Nothing like the rules of supply and demand just in time for the Olympics. Subscription prices for Peacock, which is owned by CNBC parent company Comcast, will increase by 2%. The Olympics will air on NBC's TV networks and streaming platform this summer in Paris. And a new fashion piece may be the most delicious one yet. Panera debuting a bread hat for the Kentucky Derby, combining a 3D printed bread bowl with ostrich feathers and a gold spoon. The design comes from the creators of Lady Gaga and Jennifer Lopez's outfits and has already sold out in stores. Wow. Anything for fashion, apparently. All right, much more Worldwide Exchange coming up after this.
It's really clear they're making these deals and giving away shareholder value, which is why they can't be trusted to run a company and a franchise as powerful as Norfolk Southern's and one that plays such an integral part in the U.S. economy.
And that was Norfolk Southern CEO Alan Shaw speaking with CNBC yesterday on his company's proxy fight with Ancora, saying the activist investor cannot be trusted to run a company as vital as Norfolk Southern. Shaw's comments coming as Ancora continues to secure support in its bid to shake up leadership at the rail company, including ousting Shaw as CEO. All right, we're also watching shares of Dave & Buster's this morning as the company pushes into a new arena to potentially make some competition between customers just a little bit more lucrative. Our Contessa Brewer is at CNBC HQ with much more on this story. Contessa, I feel like you're pretty competitive. How excited are you about this?
I mean, I think that this is a really interesting concept. So you've got this arcade giant, Dave & Buster's, taking its games to a whole new level by offering social wagering on its app. And once this launches in the next few months, it could mean a friendly $5 wager on a Hot Shots basketball game or a bet on skee ball competition at the arcade that takes place on the app as long as the players are at least 18 years old. The company's share price is up more than 50% over the past year. And this new technology, the company thinks, could increase engagement from its 5 million loyalty members and 30 million unique visitors annually to more than 200 venues. It is partnering with Lucra. It's a software company that specializes in real money contests that its founders say bypass gambling regulations and licensing. So in 44 states, it offers games that allow friends to bet against each other on, say, their own tennis matches. Social gaming is estimated to be a $6 billion industry, according to research firm Eilers & Krejcik. We will get more details on what this looks like from Dave & Buster's before the new digital competition platform launches. But for now, the company says it will give its members an unrivaled gaming experience. So something new to see. It won't look like a casino. It will look just like an arcade. Doesn't that, like right now, the gaming floor and the casino, sometimes you can just see them interchangeably, right?
I don't go to very many casinos, I got to be honest. I know that's your beat. I'm not saying you're just in casinos. I know you go there to cover stories. But I do have a question for you. Could this actually be competition for casinos in some way? Could this go beyond a friendly wager on our arcade games into something more for Dave & Buster's?
I mean, right now, the advantage is if you don't have to go before the gaming regulators and get licensed, that's a huge obstacle for a lot of companies. But so for Dave & Buster's, you might imagine you could bet a burger or bet a beer, and that would keep all of that spending in the ecosystem of Dave & Buster's and make it possible to sort of just amp up the level of adults and what they're willing to do and engage with at the gaming platform. What we've seen with the sports books is there's competition from social gaming, these platforms like Fliff that allow 18 and up players to get on and bet against friends. Is it taking away from DraftKings, Penn, BetMGM, and Caesars, all of which, by the way, report earnings this week? Probably not. Like, sheer sports fans are still going to go to the sports books. But what we're seeing is the gamification of lots of other entertainment options, Frank.
Our Contessa Brewer with the very latest on social gaming. $6 billion market. Never would have thought that. Contessa, always great to see you.
It's nice to see you,
all
too.
Right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, some fresh enthusiasm around key AI player NVIDIA and a new upgrade. Your morning call sheet, that's coming up next. Also, if you haven't already, follow our podcast. If you miss Worldwide Exchange, check us out on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast apps. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your morning call sheet. We start with UBS raising its price target on NVIDIA to $1,150 per share, UBS citing continued strength in demand for existing and upcoming products, including its Blackwell chip. Shares of NVIDIA actually in the red in the pre-market right now, down just about 0.5%. Jefferies also initiating coverage of Ralph Lauren with a buy rating and a $195 price target. Jefferies says it likes the apparel company for increasing brand quality, margin expansion, and expectations for steady growth to continue. Shares of Ralph Lauren not moving right now in the pre-market on that upgrade. All right, time now for your global briefing. We begin with a story that we brought you earlier. HSBC says CEO Noel Quinn is retiring after 5 years at the helm. Quinn steered the bank through the pandemic and boosted profits by selling underperforming assets, including the retail banking business in the United States. HSBC says it launched the process to find his successor. Those shares up 3.5%, also reported earnings today. Hong Kong rolling out its first spot crypto ETFs today as it looks to challenge the U.S. in the market. The units of the three Chinese asset managers each launching two funds tracking Bitcoin and Ether prices. The SEC approved the first Bitcoin U.S. Bitcoin ETF back in January. Also looking at China, factory activity expanding for a second straight month in April, although it was at a slower pace. Official government data shows manufacturing PMI slipping to just 50.4, just ahead of forecast, and above the 50 mark, which separates growth from contraction. A separate private factory survey shows activity grew more quickly as new export orders rose. We're also looking at Samsung. Operating profit jumping tenfold in the first quarter. Revenue rising nearly 13%, beating forecast on higher prices for memory chips and sales of its Galaxy smartphones. Samsung expects the chip market to remain solid, driven by the expansion of generative AI. Shares of Samsung up just over 1%. All right, coming up, the one word that every investor needs to know today, plus why our next guest says it's time the Fed pivots away from the Fed pivot. Interesting. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. It's time now for your WEX wrap-up. We begin with Tesla reportedly laying off hundreds more employees, including the heads of its supercharger and new products businesses. This after the stock logged its best day since March of 2021. CEO Elon Musk enjoying the fruits of that stock pop, adding more than $37 billion to his net worth in the past 5 days. That is his largest weekly gain since 2022. That was just before he agreed to buy Twitter for $44 billion. Paramount CEO Bob Bakish is stepping down and leaving the board of directors as merger talks with Skydance Media continue. He will be replaced by three executives, the heads of Paramount's movie studio, CBS Business, and Showtime and MTV Studios. Microsoft, betting big on Asia, announcing it will spend $1.7 billion on Indonesia to build out cloud computing and AI infrastructure. The investment will span over 4 years and includes tech training for 2.5 million people in Southeast Asia. MicroStrategy under some pressure after posting a Q1 loss due to impairment charges against its $13 billion worth of Bitcoin. Revenue falling by 5%, even with Bitcoin prices up nearly 50% on the year. And Warren Buffett's Pacific Corp facing $30 billion in fines from the victims of Oregon's 2020 Labor Day wildfires. That amount is around 2.5 times what the grid operator is actually worth, though it could decrease based on the claims resolved so far. All right, here's what to watch today. This morning we get the latest S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index and Consumer Confidence figures. Also, it is just another busy day of earnings at the halfway point with results from Amazon, 3M, Coca-Cola, Eli Lilly, McDonald's, Starbucks, PayPal, and Advanced Micro Devices, among others. The Fed also kicks off its two-day policy meeting today with its decision coming tomorrow. All right, earnings are set to be one of the key drivers for the market action today. Ahead of those results, taking a look at futures, we are seeing the Dow at least off of its lows of earlier today, looking like it would open about 35 points lower. However, the NASDAQ has dipped just a bit more into the red. For more on the trading day ahead, let's bring in Jeff Klingelhofer, co-head of investments at Thornburg Investment Management with $43 billion in assets under management. Jeff, good morning from London. Want to get a sense on how you see the day ahead shaping up. What's your WEX word of the day?
The word of the day ahead of the Fed to me has to be mandate. Right? Everyone's talking about the Fed. That's been what's been driving the markets. And to me, what's key isn't to focus on those first two mandates, but to remind ourselves the Fed actually has three mandates, right? Maximum employment, price stability, and moderate long-term interest rates. And that third one, I think, has been key, both from where we've come, but importantly, where we're heading and how the Fed thinks about continuing to compress the wage gap and the sticky form of inflation that they've introduced from low-wage income earners in particular, supporting the economy.
Okay, so WEX word of the day is mandate. You're hitting on all three of them, but I want to ask you, do you have an outlook for when you expect to see rate cuts? And if we see what's expected, a hawkish Jay Powell tomorrow, how does that shape the markets for the rest of the week? Oh, you moved your head. You don't think he's going to be very hawkish?
I really don't. I think it would be a policy mistake if the Fed came out overly hawkish. I think it was a policy mistake that earlier this year they moved to a much more dovish stance. They had signaled to the markets that they were going to raise rates, they were going to stay there and let the bite of higher rates actually feed through to the economy. And it is feeding through to the economy. But earlier this year, the Fed pivoted. I think that was a policy mistake, and I think it'd be a policy mistake to come out too hawkish in this meeting. They have to acknowledge the bite of higher inflation, but they need to take a pause.
All right, so Jeff, really quick, if you think Jay Powell is going to be hawkish, one of your picks for us is TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. If you believe we're going to see, a dovish Jay Powell or a more dovish Jay Powell, that would mean that inflation, at least in the future, is more likely, from what he's seeing, is going to decline. So then why would you want to invest in TIPS right now if you think the rate of inflation is going to go down?
Well, it's not that I think the rate of inflation is going to come down. I think we're stuck in a new normal of 3%. The Fed has quietly quit its 2% mandate. The reason why I like TIPS is because that is the risk to the economy. But at this point, we are seeing in a ton of underlying metrics that the bite of higher rates is working. The consumer is declining. They are defaulting on subprime auto. They are defaulting on credit cards. And most recently, we're seeing them default on housing, a linchpin of the underlying economy. So higher rates are working, but there's always the risk that if the Fed continues where it's at, the consumer continues strong, that the bite of higher inflation erodes the value of treasuries. So we like TIPS here.
Okay. All right, so the Fed obviously has a big influence on the global investing environment. Right now, you say when it comes to equities, and we have to end very quickly, that you like international stocks more than you like U.S. names. Is there a certain region you like and why?
I would say for the most part, it's less about the region. It's much more about the moat of underlying economy. So what we see here is a belief that the consumer in the U.S. continues to be much more resilient than it actually is. If we look international, starting valuations are much more interesting, as well as dividend yields notably higher. So you're being paid to take risks. That's really the core of our message in looking internationally. You're being paid to take risks. You're not being paid to take risks in the U.S.
All right, something to keep in mind. Jeff Klingelhofer, great to have you here on the show. Appreciate it. One of your picks for us, TIPS. looking to take advantage of the higher for longer situation. Thank you again. Taking a look at futures in the red across the board, but the Dow off of its lows of earlier. That's going to do it for Worldwide Exchange. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.